Welcome to the New Covenant Christian Community Church podcast. Join us as Pastor Jack and other NC4 staff challenge us with a message from God's Word.
Great to be here again. And yesterday we went into Philadelphia. We were talking about Ben Franklin was a friend of George Whitefield. And I was just sitting there thinking, I'm doing something today Whitefield never did. I'm in two places at once.
That's right.
And I think Whitefield could, you could hear him 25 blocks away. They're hearing me in McCunchy. That's stupid, I know. Well, it is good to be here. I've got many friends in this church. I've been here many times through the years, and many of you have come down to Harrisonburg, and it's great to be here. Becky and I have been married. We got married about 12. We were, I was 13, she was 12. We have been married a long time, and it's been wonderful. We have five kids, actually one. Our son died a couple years ago, 54 years old, just dropped dead one day. But we had 18 grandkids. One of the grandkids died at 5 days old. And we have two great grandkids. We have wonderful, our kids' spouses we love dearly. So we've had a very rich life. We're having a very rich life. It's continuing and actually quite exciting. Most of the time, you guys have been talking about growth in Christ. When do you finish growing? Anybody completed it? Of course not. Not in Christ. We, every day is something new we grow in. And I was thinking about that when Jack, do y'all call him Jack here? Does anybody know him as Jack? Talked about growth. I thought, you know, our first phase of growing, I think I have slides. Do I have, man, something, not slides, what do you call them? Push the button. Okay. I was thinking about it. One major growth that occurs with us is when encounters with Christ. And we have encounters, I mean, I guess some have them every day, but a lot of days seem like a normal day for me. And I know God is there and I talk to him, but it doesn't seem like an experience, a major encounter. But I've had those through the years, meeting him, different situations. And during those times, I learned something about him. I get to know him in a way that I didn't know him before. And so there's an area of growth that occurs during those encounters with him. And they occur over and over in various ways throughout our life. Do any of you have days that seem normal? You're just changing diapers and cooking and cleaning the house or going to your job or whatever, and it's just a normal day, but you know God is with you, but you don't sense him like you do at other times. Well, those experiences bring awareness and a growth in our life. We're not the same. Every time he touches us in that way, we advance, so to speak. And then there's what I'd call the learning phase, where we just decide to push the button. Help me, folks. Thanks. Well, we just learn about him. We study the scriptures. In fact, that's the best way to learn about him. If you just count on experiences, you don't really get to know the depth of Christ. So we study the scripture, Old and New Testament. We listen to people speak and teach us. We read Christian books. We meditate on the scriptures. But just knowing or learning reading is not enough by itself, is it? If we don't practice it, if we don't put it into action, we don't really grow with it. It's not complete for us. So we learn to, and we keep learning. Every time I read through the scriptures, I see something I've never seen before.
Yeah.
It's an amazing book. It's God, it's alive, it breathes. And each time you read it, he reveals something of himself. Unless the Holy Spirit reveals it to us, I don't think we can fully understand it. We can't grasp it with our minds. God is infinite. We were talking about the universe, how we keep learning as we develop new telescopes, we can see further, and it just keeps going. Well, God is more than that. I mean, so how could you know him? You just keep learning. But today I wanted to emphasize more a phase of learning that I think has some depth to it that other phases don't. And that is when we go through difficult times in our life. Just the couple were sharing just a little bit ago about mother being sick. When you have loved ones that are sick or you have physical problems, your son, you get a call and you go and you see your son lying on the ground going through CPR and he never recovers. When your 5-day-old grandbaby dies, things like that take you to a place that I'm going to read these scriptures in a minute, but take you to a place of learning and knowing and growing in Christ that you can't do any other way. And it's quite painful. Becky, would you like to share a little bit about one of our opportunities to grow?
Good being here.
Hold the mic.
Good being here. You can tell I'm not used to this.
She was begging to speak.
Actually, he gave me a way out and said I didn't need to do it, but I really felt there was something I did want to say from the Lord, so I volunteered. I am sharing two experiences that I went through that were very hurtful, but God was so faithful, as he always is. He's always faithful. It was a church split in the early days of our church, and several years after my husband and I planted a church in Harrisonburg, Virginia, we had appointed two elders, one of which started showing signs after a while of a controlling spirit. I'm sure y'all have all been around controlling people. And when that spirit's there, it's very difficult to run the good thing. And that elder influenced the other elder. We only had two. So a long story short, after a time, my husband was calling out to God and sensed the Lord just saying, "Are you willing to give it all up?" And his response was, "Lord, they can have the church in the building, the land in the building, but please entrust the hearts of the people to me. The land and building are nothing, they're just material things." That's what happened, and we did leave that fellowship. Our hearts were broken because these two elders had our brothers in Christ. They had been close friends. We had had wonderful fellowship together, and even our families had vacationed with each other. We loved them. But we did leave, and almost all of the people in the church left with us, all of the staff and just about all of the people. And we started a new church, which is Grace Covenant Church. We heard God say at that time during our just broken heart, he said, praise me. Don't look at that circumstance. Praise me in all things. And that's what we did. We chose to praise him, the whole group. And I have never been before or since in a better praise time of praise than that. For a few years, we rented this old church, and we had to have structural engineers come in and check it, because when we had praise services, the floor would go up and down. But it was just wonderful. God met us there. It was wonderful. And the other thing we sensed God saying right from the get-go was forgive. And that's not hard. I mean, that is hard when you feel angry and sad, brokenhearted. But we chose to forgive as God forgives us. We pray that in the Lord's Prayer. Lord, forgive us our debtors as you have forgiven us. And with that, in forgiving them and choosing it many times, sometimes daily, to forgive them, we were freed. We were freed. I think it frees the Holy Spirit to start the work on the situation too. I have a saying in my written in the front of my Bible. It says, when I work, the Lord rests. But when I rest in him, the Lord works. Yeah. And I think it frees. Forgiveness frees a lot of things. And I can honestly say that after, I don't know how many years, but a few years afterwards, our fellowship was restored with those two elders. They actually started attending Grace Covenant Church, and Dick was the one that officiated at their funerals. My favorite verse in the scriptures is Romans 8:28. We are assured and know that all things work together and are for good to and for those who love God and are called according to God's design and purpose. Nothing happens in our life outside of God's purpose. He has purposes. Another sad thing that happened in our life, was very hard to struggle with. Dick said that our son died, and it was very quick. Too soon, deep grief. But I want to say that Rick had known the Lord as a young person, had put God up on the shelf, but a year and a half before he died, he had renewed his relationship with Jesus Christ and was excited about him. So Rick left us the greatest inheritance anyone can leave someone on earth. And he did that because of Jesus, what Jesus Christ had done in his life. But anyone here that has not made sure their family knows where they are in Jesus, do that, because you never know. And it gave me a hunger to know that people knew Jesus. You don't want them to die without that. Jesus knew it wouldn't always be easy on this journey through earth, and it is a journey through. We're on our way to heaven because it's a fallen world here. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. One of the important things Jesus told the believers before he ascended was to wait for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And I can honestly say that without that experience, after coming to know Jesus, but of Jesus baptizing me in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongue, I don't think I could have made it. I often wonder how people make it through this earth without knowing Jesus. I don't know how the believers make it through without the baptism, because it is the power to overcome. It protects us, it encourages us, and it edifies us. And whenever hard things happen, like the son dying, or all of us have some things, just that praying out in the Spirit and singing and praising God in the Spirit, there's power in that. It's the power to overcome. God promised all of these things. In Acts 1:18, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witness all to the ends of the earth. We want to be his witness. Jesus baptizes in the Holy Spirit. Very often when you're in the midst of a situation, you don't know what to pray, especially when it's a hard situation. You don't know. With the Holy Spirit, it says we do not know what to pray, but the Spirit makes intercession for us with groaning. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession. Isn't that wonderful? No, someone's making intercession for you when you're going through trials. And then when you're praying the perfect prayer, because the Spirit is praying. Praying for family and situations, I don't know how people do without that. We can find God in the beautiful things of this earth, and this area is beautiful. But we can also find God in tragedy. And we can overcome all things, because the Holy Spirit is working in us. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to make you an overcomer in all things. Thanks.
Better go, babe. If you have your Bibles, your phone, whatever you have with you, how about turning to Psalm 84? What you was talking about, what I want to look at here in this scripture, is what I'd call the trust phase. When you're going through, seems like the worst time in your whole life, and it's out of your control. You can't change the circumstance or the tragedy that's already occurred. And it's just a horrible time. And most believers don't go very long in their life without experiencing that. Life on this earth does have things. We have wonderful times with Christ. Some days are wonderful. I had a day recently I was about to shoot my age in golf. And for any of us, any of us golfers, you know, that's like heaven. I was telling Grubby, I can't imagine heaven. You would shoot an 18 every day. But then there are days, like she was talking about, when your best friends betray you, your son dies, your daughter, 16-year-old daughter, gets pregnant, lots of other things that you feel like, oh God, I don't think I can take this. One of my grandsons, I was talking to him the other day, and he said, well, I said, what's your worst day? He said, I think having a bad tennis tournament. Well, he was young. He hadn't. But then I had another grandson who accidentally shot and killed his grandfather. That was a bad day. So we have these, but the scripture I thought was interesting in Psalm 84, 5 through 7. Let's look at it together. It says, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in God." We're blessed because God has revealed himself to us, and it doesn't take long in life to realize that we need the strength of God to go through life. Some days it seems like we can coast. Thank you, God. You rest the day, I can make it. But most days we realize clearly we need him. We really need him. And that takes revelation from God, because most of us are pretty self-sufficient people. But when we really examine it, we're not as much in control as we think. So we need him. Blessed are those whose strength is in him, and in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Now, for the Israelites in those days, the Jewish people, they would want to go to Zion because they understood that God would be in Zion. And so they want to go to be where he was. And when they come to Christ, there's a desire in our hearts to meet with God, to be with him. But each one of us, I believe, when we create it with a divine purpose, a particular way to get to where we're going. Yesterday, we were coming back, we had many ways. I was listening to Grubby and Trish talk. Do we want to go this way to get back to home, or we want to go this way? And so we're all called to follow Christ. But each of us have a slightly different journey to get to where we're going. Some years ago, I heard someone say that sin was anything that hinders me from my divine destiny, that takes me off the path, that leads me away from the purposes that God has for me. So if you define sin that way, what's sin for me may not be sin for you. Something that would keep me from my divine purpose wouldn't necessarily keep you. There are a bunch of sins that everybody we know. But so we're on a pilgrimage. Our goal now in life is to be with Christ eternally. That's our goal. And by his grace, we can. It's not really up to us, but we need to travel this life. And the scripture says, as they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. And that's kind of what we're talking about today. This is a way, you know, Baca is only once used in the scriptures. But Baca meant a place of weeping or mourning. And on this pilgrimage to be with the Lord, or to meet him in Zion, as the psalmist is talking here, we go through the valley of Baca. Now, is anybody in this room that's over 25 ever had no hard times in your life? All of you have had things that seemed awful at the moment, were awful. We go through the valley of Baca, and we probably don't go through it just once in our lifetime. It would be it would be great to go through it once only, but we go through it various times in our lifetime, times of weeping or mourning. But in the valley of Baca, those whose strength is in the Lord, they make springs. Now, I went through Israel many years ago. We went out into the Sinai and actually traveled through the Sinai. And wherever you came up on a spring, it was like an oasis. It could be very barren and dry, but when a spring occurred, there were trees, there were plants, there were things bloomed. It was beautiful. And in those places of difficulty, if we stay in Christ and we guard our hearts and we don't become bitter and angry and resentful and unforgiving, whatever, but we make springs, we press into the Lord, then the scripture says, then the early rain also covers it with pools. In the scriptures, the early rains were a great blessing from God. They would plant their crops, and then the rains would come and would cause the seed to begin to grow. And the scriptures here indicate the same thing. If we will press into Him, then He sends the early rain, the blessings. And during that time, we're in Baca. There's a type of sweetness in the Lord that you can only experience when you're hurting the most. And many of you have seen that. You were hurting so badly, but as you pressed into Christ, as you looked to Him, as you just gave up, said, God, I can't do it. I can't go through this alone. I don't know how to handle this situation. It's more than I can handle. Then there's a presence and a sweetness of God that comes into your life. How do you know you can go? You know, He promises He'll always be with you. How do you know that for a fact? When everything's good, it seems easy. But when it's hard and you sense His presence and His love and that His peace that comes, it's so precious during that time. And it's hard to actually sense that except in the hard times. How many of you pray for hard times? Of course we don't. We you know, you've heard people say, I wouldn't give $1 million to do that again, but I wouldn't take $1 million to not have it. I mean, it's something special that happens. And when He does that, then we go from strength to strength. That's where some of the deepest growth we can ever occur in our lives in Christ comes in those times. Don't look for them, but when they come, take advantage of them. Take advantage. Don't waste that pain. Go to the Lord, seek Him. And it doesn't happen overnight. The situation doesn't get delivered. Some things can happen in our lives that seems to take years before we feel free again. But press into Him. And the scripture says we go from strength to strength. That's the growing in Him. And then we keep on our journey to meet Him in Zion. Church, this is the part of growth that I have seen in my own life, times that without Him I feel like I can't make it, that it's too hard. And you have to watch your heart, because there's a tendency to say, God, You can do anything. How come You let this happen? You know, Israel during World War II, many of them, because of the Holocaust, it was like, God abandoned us. And we can feel the same way. Like, why would You let this happen? Lose your job, financial difficulties, whatever. I mean, there are millions, seems like, ways that we can feel like we're devastated. But each one of those gives us an opportunity. We make choices. Do we want to go deeper in the Lord or do we want to fight it and be bitter? It's a serious time. What we do in Baca has a lot to do with, doesn't mean we'll lose our salvation. It doesn't mean God won't accept us still. But we don't get to experience the sweetness of God that he wants to show us. His faithfulness is forever. And it appears the best, I believe. Looking back, nothing I wanted, but looking back on my life, some of the best times with God was when I yielded to him in a time of mourning and weeping. File it away. Hopefully you won't ever have to practice this message, but likely you will. God bless you.
Thanks for listening. For info about NC4, visit our website at www.nc4.org.